This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience puts you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between Qatar and Senegal. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Hello and welcome everyone to our first debrief of today. We are going to discuss the game between the Asian champion Qatar and the African champion Senegal. Both teams lost their opening matches by 2-0. My name is Arnie Barres. I am joined in the car today by Pascal Zuberbühler, Mr. Alberto Zaccaroni, Sunday Olise, Harry Lowe and Chris Loxton. Sunday, Qatar manager Felix Sanchez said that the opening match against Ecuador was emotionally very challenging. How did you see their performance today, also in comparison to the first game?
Well, today it was a total different show. The attitude to the game, the philosophy was much, much better. But I think coming to the game, how they played, they came out with a structure that looked defensive on paper. And they started it out playing defensive too, which was a 5-3-2, five defenders, three midfielders and two. Well, it kind of like handicapped them anyway, in the sense that they had numerical inferiority in the first two parts of the game, which were in the attack, in the midfield, they were always running one man less. Inasmuch as they stayed compact, they did not concede much, but they were not able to cut off passing lines, in spite that they were all very compact. That made life difficult for them.
And you also mentioned during the game to me that you felt that they defended well in that structure, but they had difficulties to transition from defense to offense. Why was that?
Well, they had difficulties transitioning because most teams, tactically, when you play a 5-3-2, the idea is when you have the ball, the two fullbacks push up forward and try to overpopulate, either to populate or bring an equilibrium to the midfield in numbers. Then you're able to play out into the midfield. But in this instance, what they did was that the Senegalese looked like they were putting pressure on them up front, and they did not even take a risk to try to play out from the back. Just 1-2 touches. They gave a long ball to the side, where they ended up having the 1v1 there, and they lost the duels. So they lost it. They had to run back, and they had problems going into attack.
Yeah, and that was reflected in the phases of play that we saw as well. So in the first half, Qatar registered 50% of their out of possession phase in a low block. So this is extremely high for a first half of football.
Well, Harry, if I understand what you're trying to say by 50% in the low block, that means they were practically glued up to like 30 meters away from the goal.
Yeah, we saw in the first half the defensive line height as well out of possession was 29 meters from the goal, compared to Senegal it was 40 meters. So they were very, very close to their own goal, defending in that low block shape.
And Harry, in our phases of play, we also differentiate between a block and a press. Can you maybe elaborate on what that difference is, and if we also have a number of how much time they spend in a low press?
Yes, we have our different phases, and two of these phases are between different styles of defensive block and different styles of defensive press. So we look at that across high, mid and low areas of the pitch. And what this basically means is teams who set up in a block are in a very solid structure. They may move across the pitch from side to side. They're staying close together in terms of their numbers, but they are not applying pressure on their opponents. They're allowing them maybe to build up. Whereas opposed to a press, this is when individuals will go and actively look to close the space between themselves and the opponent, applying pressure on the ball or applying even pressure to a player that hasn't even yet received the ball. For Qatar, like I said, this was the low block in the first half was extremely high, the percentages they had. And in comparison to a press, they only registered 6% of press compared to the block. So this was quite a contrast in the two styles of defensive phase that they had.
Great, that is very insightful. Alberto, you observed Senegal for us. What is your analysis of Senegal?
Senegal ha fatto la partita che
Senegal played the game they wanted to play. They came out with a block of a formation of four players defensively, two mid central midfielders and four offensive players. They pushed up four players high up against the block of five of the Qataris, and then the second half they played a 4-3-3 in the second half. If there's a weak link, we could find in their style of play. If we could fault their style of play, was that they really did not bring up too many 1v1 situations.
Tra le linee dove è riuscita a concludere.
They played too much on the vertical, and that they did not exploit the possibilities they could have had. Or they had.
Uno contro uno.
Once they got the ball, they did not try to go through the middle. They tried to go to the side, to the wings, and then eventually. But the problem was that they did not combine that with somebody trying to make use of that in a vertical. Especially on the right side, which was their strong point.
Soprattutto sul lato destro, che è il loro lato forte.
And Harry, you made an interesting observation related to how Senegal broke the first line and the second line, and how that is related to the team shape of the opposition.
Yeah, so this is interesting how Alberto mentions Senegal's desire to use the wide areas, but this is also linked to the direction that the lines were broken as well. So we have through, over and around, and for around they had 66 line breaks compared to 28 over and 23 through. So I was also interested to, maybe for the question to the guys actually, is about the Qatari shape. Because of this shape, the two attacking players with the three midfielders, how this maybe allows for more around line breaks for the opposition looking to go around their defensive structure as opposed to going through.
Well, the fact that they were playing five defenders made them all wide all through. Three central midfielders who were centrally focused, that closed, kind of like packed up the middle and left spaces on the side. This was why the opposition had to just smartly shift them to one side, then change it over to the other side where they had less populations on it. But then again, as we saw in the second half, it changed. What the Qataris did in the second half changed. Maybe later on, I don't know if we have time to talk about that.
Oh, okay, great. Something I want to touch on because it stood out, it was the role of Afif, also Sunday, to continue with you just a little bit, because obviously he was one of their strikers, but he had a very different role in possession.
Afif, for me, well, it's not my style to like to focus on a player because I like to look at the holistic point of view of the thing, but in this instance, I think we should, because I agree that we should. Because he not only played as a point striker, they were playing two strikers, he went to the side to try to get himself free, sometimes even come so deep down as to be the side of the defensive midfielder in front of the defense to receive the ball and start up an attack from there. And I think for me, he was very deadly when he took the free kicks. He was practically the top player in their team. And it is so obvious, like you rightfully said, Anne, before here, was that they were handicapped in the first game because there is no what they played today was much, much better than the first game.
Zubi, the second goal came from a corner towards near post just outside of the 6-yard box. Is that possible for the goalkeeper to defend that cross?
That cross to defend for the goalkeeper was not possible, but it was possible to save this header, because in this situation, Barsham, the goalkeeper today, he was on his movement to the first post, and at that moment when the goal scorer Diciu made the header, the goalkeeper from Qatari was not set his feet. He was still in movement on his left side because the header was not going in the corner or somewhere else. He could maybe, if he set his feet and is ready for this header, he could and would save this ball. It was also interesting to see that today not the number one, Al Sheib, was playing, starting. It was Barsham today in the goal, maybe because also about the performance from the first game. They made this change for this game. And yes, that was the only thing what I recognized so far from the goalkeeper from Qatar, from Barsham. On the other side, it was nice to see Mendy. He also didn't have a very good game on the first. Mendy lost against Netherlands. He received also a lot of critic. But today, I have to say, second half, he had a big, big save on the 67th minute. That was really a fantastic save. And Ismail had a good finish option 5 meters away. And then with his right hand, he was so explosive. It was a big reflex and he showed up that he's a top-class goalkeeper.
And Chris, we are obviously collecting a lot of data on the games and trying to identify some trends or some key themes. To what extent is the game today a representation of what we already seen during the other games?
Yeah, thanks, Arno. And obviously we're over 25% of the way through this tournament now. So we're starting to observe some key themes, and we're very fortunate as a group to be going to two games a day as well. So they become more and more obvious the more we go through. I mean, look, so far over a third of the goals are coming from crosses. And if we look at tonight's game, three of the four goals, including the one from the corner, again have come from crosses. So touching on what Alberto said, the use of the wide areas from Senegal, I mean, if we look at their final third entries, down the left was 26 and down the right was 19 tonight. So we can clearly see teams being forced wide by their opposition, but also purposefully looking to get into those wide areas. The other thing as well, we saw Senegal using this tonight, is trying to beat that high block, that high press with lofted balls. There is a clear separation between the front group of players and then the defensive line, and there's a little gap that is opening up behind the opposition midfield. So we've seen this in other games. It's something we're going to touch on in some of the work that we'll be pushing out on the FIFA Training Centre in the next days. But certainly these lofted balls to get over that first block of players is becoming quite apparent.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Zubi. Thank you, Sunday, Alberto, Harry and Chris. Thank you all for listening. We will be back later, as we are already on our way to observe the next game, England against the United States. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.